You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 Port Townsend. I am Heather McRae-Wolf, and this is The Heart of Learning, a community conversation about education. Today, my guest is Carol Light, teacher, poet, parent, and founder of the Compass Rose Program. And we're going to be talking about a range of topics today, but to start with, I wanted to know a little bit about this new partnership with the University of Washington Robinson Center that you've been involved with, Carol. So if you could say a little bit about what this partnership is and what's on the horizon with it.
Sure, I'd be glad to. The Robinson Center is a program from the University of Washington, and there they work with highly capable, academically motivated middle school and high school students. At least that's the way their program started in the 1970s. They had an early entrance program for young people to get into college early if they were so inclined and had the ability to do so. And since then, their programs have developed. So they offer a summer stretch and summer challenge academic programs. And they have a very exciting program on Saturdays, which is enrichment for kindergarten through eighth grade students in the Seattle area. They offer 20 different classes on Saturday mornings in one of the buildings on campus at UW. And the programs range from logic puzzles to reading Beowulf, designing inventions for the future. They have speech and debate and mock trial, all kinds of exciting kinds of programming. And I knew people who had both been students at the Robinson Center when they were younger and also friends who had taught Robinson Center programs. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could have a program like that here in Port Townsend? So that's how we got started. And we're going to be offering a Saturday enrichment program, a pilot project in March, just another month and a half away. And we'll be having, I hope, a longer-term Saturday program next year in the wintertime. This will be a partnership with the Port Townsend Public Schools and also the Robinson Center programs from the University of Washington.
Great. And the one that is coming up is March 24th. Correct, on a Saturday, right. And it's going to be at Fort Worden. And the one here is for grades 3 to 8, is that right?
That's correct. We needed to focus it a little bit more toward the upper grades just in order to get faculty from the Robinson Center who could come out here and offer a program.
I see. We were looking at the schedule a little bit here, and so each child basically gets to experience 4 different classes during the course of the day, right?
That's right. And the classes range from philosophy, introduction to philosophy, ecology, creative writing and creative thinking class, also speech and debate with a Seattle attorney. And there are math games and logic puzzles as a part of the program as well. In addition, there will be professional development offered for teachers, and the school district is offering clock hours for those educators, their continuing education credits, and also programs for parents, how to nurture academic motivation and learning in highly capable kids.
And if you are in the Port Townsend School District, you're receiving information from the district about it, and otherwise notices will be out in the Leader and around town, right?
That's right. There'll be press releases and encouragement to apply. If this program is successful, the pilot project on March 24th, that will give us a lot of good information about whether or not we can sustain a program like that here on an ongoing basis, doing a 6 to 8 week session, let's say, in the winter of 2019. So having people decide to participate in this and bring your kids out, come out, learn some things about it yourself as a parent or as an educator, that will definitely help get it going. And we hope to be able to expand it so that it is a program that serves the whole Olympic Peninsula, that once we get it up and running and we can offer more classes, we might reach out to SQIM, to Chimicum, to Quilcene, Brennan, to even perhaps North Kitsap, but people who are within commuting distance and might be able to get here on a Saturday for a raft of exciting and interesting classes.
Wow. And this sounds very different than anything that we have had around here. Is that right? Is this sort of a new type of program to come to this area?
I think it is. I don't think there's much like this on the Olympic Peninsula. Certainly the schools are charged with providing education for everyone, and highly capable learners are part of that. But to be able to open up programs to any kid who wanted to learn, you don't have to be tapped on the shoulder as being tested as a highly capable student. It's really self-selected. So if you are a motivated student who is interested in engaging in adventurous, hands-on learning, innovative curriculum, that you might like to come on a Saturday and do logic puzzles or play math games or learn about philosophy, mm-hmm. and take yourself through different moral dilemmas and discussions about those, to participate in mock trial kinds of classes. Those are all fun things that you can do, and you don't have to be, it's not a competitive process to get in. The only competition really is going to be signing up early enough that you've got a spot.
Uh-huh. So. And the cost, I mean, it's very reasonable. It's $25 per family, but if you qualify for free and reduced lunch,
it's free,
mm-hmm. which is a price you can't beat.
That's right.
Would you tell me a little bit about your involvement with sort of trying to offer different types of programs? I mean, you have started the Compass Rose program, which is also sort of connected with the public schools, but also trying to offer certain kinds of enrichment. So could you talk a little bit about that program?
Sure. Actually, I think I might go a little bit farther back, okay. First of all. I taught at Blue Heron Middle School for a number of years, and one of the projects that I got started there with the help of Martha Worthley at Centrum, who runs the youth programs there, and Diane Frame, who was a literacy coordinator for the district, very instrumental, helpful people. We put together the Writers in the Schools program for our school district. Mm-hmm. And that involved contacting Seattle Arts and Lectures. They have a very vibrant Writers in the Schools program. They really knew how to do it. They had a good raft of faculty who could teach it. And we wanted to try to bring that program to the Port Townsend schools. And with very generous support for many years from the Port Townsend Education Foundation and also from the Port Townsend School District, we were able to get that program up and running. The success of that, I think, was being able to coordinate a lot of different organizations, all of whom have very generous missions, and get them to work together to try to make something happen. I think that's true for this Robinson Center program as well. It's bringing together expertise from the Robinson Center in Seattle, along with the school district and the many things that they offer, Fort Warden and their generosity in helping us find classroom space for this. And so I think that coordinating effort is the part that's the tricky part to get together, but you have a lot of organizations who want to help, and bringing them together and making something happen. That's what I feel like is the contribution that I've been able to make here. Mm-hmm. Compass Rose is a very small program, and I was excited to have that work. It's in partnership also with the Port Townsend School District in that all of our students are simultaneously enrolled in the OCEAN program, which is an alternative learning environment program for the Port Townsend schools. Mm-hmm. When I taught at Blue Heron, I worked with Daniel Molotsky, who also taught in the building, and now he is the lead teacher for the OCEAN program. I knew that he was a fabulous educator and that he had a way of teaching that I felt would be really helpful to a particular group of students that I knew. And I was also interested in single-gender education, particularly for my daughter, just because I thought at this age that she is, which is on the cusp of adolescence here, that would be something that would be helpful to her. Mm-hmm. And I felt that strongly because of how she and her friends that I knew were in the classroom. They were quiet. They were interested and engaged students. They were thoughtful and synthetic learners, but they were not willing to speak up much in the classroom. And by the time they were, that they had processed and put their thoughts together, they were moving on. So they're not the first ones to raise their hands, but they have a lot to say. And what I wanted to do was give them a learning environment where it was small enough that they had to speak up because they would be called on 6 or 7 times in an hour and a half class. There was no escaping it, that they'd get more confident in using their voices, and that they would have time, and they would have time to think things through and then offer their perspectives, as they're not going to be the quick ones to answer, but they're going to be the ones who have thought it through deeply to answer. And so that was my goal. I wanted to build a program for learning that would satisfy those needs. So I called a meeting at the Port Townsend Public Library, posted it on Facebook, and asked people if they were interested in different kinds of programs for girls in the middle grades to come. 25 different families showed up. Wow. I thought maybe I'd have 5 or 6 girls working with me, and we'd be in the ocean, and we'd also be meeting in my house. And that's not what happened. I had 13 different families continue to come to meetings and say they wanted to go with it and wanted to go with it quickly, more quickly than I was even prepared to do it. And we got going. And so we've had a program now. We're in our second year.
Great. And it sounds like this, in its current form, this is the last year for it.
This is the last year for it. I strongly believe that students need other teachers. And so having 2 years, as much as I love these girls and love their minds and working with them, I also know it's time for them to experience other teachers. And I had never intended for this to be a long-term single-gender program. I was thinking a couple of years through early adolescence to learn how to hold on to your voice and to speak up for yourself would be really good for them. But my goal has always been for them to be a part of the public schools in a more full way. So they're part of the OCEAN program now. But next year, I anticipate that a lot of them will be taking more classes at Blue Heron.
Mm-hmm. And it's this question of voice. I mean, as the parent of a daughter as well, you know, who's younger, but I see her as she goes up into the adolescent years, that question of how to help maintain voice and that ability to speak up and that confidence that comes so naturally when they're younger. I guess I wonder your experience as a teacher in the classroom in different settings. What else? So a single gender program is one way of sort of giving them space to speak. And what else can we do? And this is just a general sort of education philosophy question to encourage the voice of our girls as they get into that teenage zone.
Well, I think that's a really great question. My efforts as an educator, because I was always working in a co-educational environment up until the last 2 years, was always to invite any student who, you know, wanted to speak up to find that safety and sense of support in the classroom. Mm-hmm. There are so many other social dynamics at work in a classroom that don't really have to do with the attitudes of the educators, who are all trying very hard to make their classroom safe and supportive. What I found as a teacher, I taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade at Blue Heron. And when kids came in at 6th grade, they were all pretty engaged, able to speak up, willing to stick their neck out and participate. And by 8th grade, a lot of that changes. And there are a lot of other changes that happen physically, socially, emotionally in those years. But I found that a core of students that I had taught at 6th grade, by the time they were in 8th grade, they were less willing to participate. Not that they weren't engaged, they absolutely were. Not that they weren't motivated or completing their work, they were. But they weren't willing to use their voices in the classroom. And I think a lot of that's about critical mass. If you have an environment of enough people who are engaged and willing to speak up, then more people feel compelled to do that. But it's a tricky, tricky question. How do you promote that? I had thought at one point it would be great to have a leadership academy at Blue Heron to really pluck out students who were capable of being leaders and were not confident to do so, and trying to give them some of those skills. I offered after school programs. I had a little writing club group called the Mimsy Borogoves, and we ate kumquats one day a week after school and wrote poetry together. Anything to try to nurture that love of learning and to find a way. And particularly for my daughter and this small set of girls that I'm working with, their parents and I as a parent felt that the most constructive way to help them find their voices was to put them in an environment where they were around only other girls. They were in a small enough classroom where they had to speak up and they didn't really have a choice to be silent.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Carol Light, and I am Heather McRae-Wolf, and you are listening to The Heart of Learning, a community conversation about education. Carol is a teacher, poet, parent, and founder of the Compass Rose Program, and we've also been discussing the UW Robinson Center partnership with the Port Townsend School District and the pilot coming up in March. So thank you again, Carol, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So following up on that, this idea of voice, I mean, one thing that I know that I think about around the single gender education is sort of that challenge of what about the students who fall somewhere on a gender spectrum, who might be trans or who might be not as strongly identified with one end of that spectrum or not, and sort of their challenges around voice also. And so I know that when I think about my own daughter's education and how to like give her that space, but also make sure that she's aware of the people who are experiencing maybe challenges with their own voices for a whole range of reasons, I guess, along that gender spectrum.
You know, I'm just so glad that the attitudes are changing and that so many more people feel comfortable representing who they are internally, externally, and mm-hmm. that there's much more acceptance in our communities, particularly where we live. I think that Washington State and especially Western Washington, you know, have much more of a sense of justice and tolerance and fairness to all than in some places that I've lived in my life, having grown up on military bases around the country. Uh-huh. But actually, I will say that even in that culture, that there was greater acceptance of diversity, particularly ethnic diversity in the military, that you were judged in a more of a merit-based kind of a system than other environments that I've also lived. So I'm glad that that's changing. I can't say that I have a lot to offer in terms of answers for how to do this. I'm just glad that there's support out there for the students who are finding their voices in many different ways.
Yeah.
I will say, that just kind of going back to that military upbringing, I lived in a lot of different places in the South and in Japan, North Dakota, Omaha, Nebraska, many places in Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, California. And so I feel like I was exposed to a lot of different kinds of educational environments. I think that one that was profoundly helpful to me was that I was in an all-girls classroom when I was in fifth grade.
Wow.
And I had a teacher in that classroom who really supported me as a writer, gave me a book to put my a blank book to put my poems in at the end of the school year. And I think that may have tipped me in this direction with my own daughter. Also, my husband's sisters both went to Smith College at the same time that Hillary Clinton was at Wellesley. I have other friends who'd gone to Mills and gone to other Mount Holyoke, other women's colleges. And I felt like these were strong women that I respected and admired. And I thought maybe that's an experience that could be helpful to my daughter.
And back to your experience. So you had only 1 year.
Just 1 year.
In that.
It
How
was
did that happen?
1970. And there were so many different educational experiments going on. There were open classrooms. There were single gender. We only got together with the boys. We were in the same school, but we got together with them for square dancing on Fridays, except that some of us got plucked out to do astronomy class on Fridays, so we didn't have to square dance. And so that was fun, too. But that the astronomy class was co-ed. So
just circling back around a little bit to the UW and the Robinson Center and sort of what this might offer in this community, I'm thinking of some of the additional challenges of being in a more rural community and how we access resources to provide enrichment for all of our students. And now that you've had experience here as a teacher and as a parent, what are some ways that you see us as a rural community really trying to pull in more resources from our surrounding area? And I think the UW Robinson Center is an example of doing that, right? Like we're reaching out you right. and the folks in the school district who are working on this project are reaching out to Seattle to pull in a resource from that area. And maybe part of the question is, what makes it compelling for folks in Seattle to come
right.
here and to come to rural areas to do this work?
Yes, I think that's a really good question. And I will say that I worked for a few years at the University of Washington. I also have a graduate degree from an MFA from the University of Washington in writing. But one of my jobs in the span of my life was working in the sociology department as a coordinator of different programs, working with an advisory board, working with editing research reports. But I knew from the work that I did there that part of the University of Washington's mission is outreach and outreach to rural areas in Washington. And I think that is why the Robinson Center was attracted to Port Townsend, and particularly because of we had a great facility, the Fort Worden campus, to be at, that was had a mission for lifelong learning. They had active and interested partners. There are a lot of motivated teachers in our district, and certainly John Palm and Sarah Rubenstein with the Port Townsend School District have been really supportive. We had Centrum reaching out, trying to help us provide logistical support. Martha Worthley has got a lot of expertise in running youth programs out there, so she's an invaluable resource. We had the pieces to bring it together here. And one of the directors of the Robinson Center is a woman named Maren Halverson, who will be retiring from there after almost 40 years, I think, working for them. She's moving to Squim. And so our hope is that as she retires from working in Seattle, that she'll be really helpful in trying to promote this kind of program and cooperation out here on the Olympic Peninsula so that the rural schools have a center that they can go to offer programs they might not be able to offer in the schools on a daily basis. At least we can offer something to kids on the weekends.
And thinking about the programs that they do offer in these classes that are going to be offered on March 24th in this pilot, can you say a little bit about the instructors in that program, like where they're coming from, kind of what they're what kind of people are these fabulous instructors?
Yes, I can tell you that I visited their programs in December, and so I attended a lot of different classes, and I saw several of them in action, many of whom are coming for this pilot program on March 24th. So there's an attorney in Seattle named Jennifer, and she has been working with speech and debate and mock trial with kids who are in 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in their classes. And I went to both a younger kids class of speech and debate, and I also went to the mock trial class and found her to be really gifted. We have a terrific mock trial team here at the high school under the tutelage of Chris Pearson, who does a wonderful job. And I hear that they're also trying to generate interest in this at Blue Heron as well in this mock trial program. And so it seems to me this is a great way to give a shot in the arm to that kind of program and would help build our mock trial team in the future at the high school. So that's a good class. There's a young man named Reese Johnston, who I attended his class. He was teaching logic puzzles. He had a group of 6th and 7th graders, and it was the last day of their class, but he was a brilliant teacher. He's a very young man with a graduate degree in math who teaches at Edmonds Community College right now. He not only did a wonderful review of all of the puzzles that they had put together and had the kids participating in this discussion, but he had them discuss what makes a good puzzle. And then they created their own puzzle as a class for their final project. There was a maker space where there was a teacher who was asking kids to think about what kinds of inventions would we need that would be helpful to our world. And there were solar-powered basketball courts and energy generated from applause and stomping on the bleachers that helped then power the electricity for the games. I mean, there were many creative things, and I think we don't have a makerspace program for this pilot program, but that's something I would anticipate happening in the future. And I think the Robinson Center's goal too is to help get programs self-sufficient. So I know they've done this kind of outreach in other places, and I think what they'd like to see is school districts districts being able to take this on themselves. So they would help us with this pilot. They would help us get the next year's program going. They would be providing professional development to teachers in our community. They would help us figure out how to recruit faculty and make sure that they were appropriately trained for working with highly capable kids at these age groups. And then we would be able to carry this on ourselves at the Port Townsend schools in conjunction with our local partners, Centrum and Fort Warden. And anyone in the community that would like to get involved, we would certainly welcome that. And especially as we're trying to get the program started, contributions would be very helpful. Right now, the Robinson Center is generously donating many of their resources in order to make this happen. They're paying the faculty. They're providing reimbursement for their transportation and their meals. They're doing the online registration. They're really giving a tremendous amount and asking just a negligible sum for families to participate. The Ford is helping us to provide, and Peninsula College to provide classroom space at a reasonable amount. It's a long program in that it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and it finishes at 3. There needs to be a lunch in there somewhere. And lunch is something that we would need to pay for at the Fort, but it would be really nice if we had contributions from local people who might be interested in trying to help support that, especially since this program is free for students who are on free and reduced lunch. It'd be great if we had lunch.
You need lunch on a long day. You need lunch. And it sounds like there might be some opportunity for volunteering in person if there's a couple, particularly parents whose kids are participating and you want to help out that day.
That
you
would
could
be
offer
absolutely
to do that. And if you do have a child in the Port Townsend School District, you're receiving information about registering, and otherwise there will be notices around town in the Leader and elsewhere, it sounds like.
That's right. And one other thing to note about registration is that there will be priority registration for people who have students in the Port Townsend School District. Because it's limited for this pilot project to about 50 families, it's likely to fill up quickly, so you want to be sure to register as soon as registration opens.
Carol, thank you very much for your work bringing this program here and also just for sharing with us a little bit about your educational journey and some of the topics to ponder as we all move forward. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Heather. It's nice to be here.
To learn more about the March 24th day of classes, go to robinsoncenter.uw.edu and look for the Take the Challenge program. For students within the Port Townsend School District, registration is open now. If spaces are available as of March 1st, registration will open to students outside the district as well. The cost for the program is $40 per family, but financial aid is available for students who qualify for free and reduced lunch.
This is The Heart of Learning, a community conversation about education on KPTZ 91.9 Port Townsend. My guest today has been Carol Light, teacher, poet, parent, and founder of the Compass Rose program. I'm Heather McCrae Wolf. Many thanks to Larry Stein, our producer today. And thanks to you all, our audience. Until next time.